these lives are on the visit that I made to Dak Tho province to visit our unit there. Accompanying me was Khon Nga, my tutor, and my young friend here in Vietnam. This first slide is of Nguyen Thi Nga as we are boarding our Air Vietnam flight for Con Thuong, which is the nearest airfield to the place where we are going. Arriving at Con Thuong, we are met here in this slide by Bill Rose, the blue shirt nearest you. Bill is a social worker, community developer, and sort of an ambulance driver. And Ron Ackerman, the other young man, is an agriculturalist. Ostensibly, he's the main reason we went, because he and Khon Nga are planning to marry. And she has never been up there. In fact, she's never been around very much anyplace. And so I was prevailed upon to make this trip so that she could see what life was like, where he worked, the type of work that he did. This is a view of the airfield. They were having some sort of military maneuvers that day, and so the place was really jumping with all types of military aircraft and vehicles, as well as personnel. Slide 4 is just a view of one of the streets leading into Con Thuong, the city portion. We stopped at the home of the bishop of Con Thuong. He is the only French bishop left in Vietnam. He happened to be on the plane with us, and we conversed with him very briefly on our way to the airport landing. Again, Ron visiting with some friend of his who recognized him as we pulled into the bishop's compound. Slide 7 is a view of the beautiful gardens in the Catholic compound there. This slide is a view of the Catholic seminary. It's a very beautiful structure, very quaint, and very French. Actually, it's a school on a high school level, and with a few students probably a little bit above. After we left that compound, we drove out side of the city a little ways to this area. This is the Pat Smith Hospital. Dr. Smith is a Catholic. She's in Vietnam rather independently and has established her own hospital. And this is where the main new hospital is located, on the outskirts of the city. However, several years ago, several people were taken prisoner by the VC, one of them a nurse whom they at the time thought was Dr. Smith, and they were wanting medical attention. Another view of the hospital. It has been empty since that time, and she's operating out of an old school building in the town. However, this is the wash area for the hospital bedding and clothing, which they bring out here to do. And this is the dryer, Vietnam style. I think it probably looks familiar to some of you. You've done it that way yourself at times. Adjacent grounds include this plot of ground for vegetables. This man is an employee of Dr. Smith's, but he's been working with Ron. And this is one of Ron's experimental garden projects as a part of his agricultural project for Vietnam Christian Service. Here he is showing Khon Nga some of the efforts that have gone into his work, some of the things that he is doing. Khon Nga is a city girl, and is trying to learn all she can about farming, at least to become familiar with terms. Here she is among the corn. Vietnamese young ladies have quite a have it. You can't take a picture of them hardly without them finding some flowers or shrubbery. They have to pose with that, always finding something. Here she's trying to find out what sweet peas are and learn a little bit about how corn is grown. I like this picture. Dakto province is rather a lovely area too. But this is another view of the garden with the man and the woman. Kind of reminds me of a Garden of Eden scene. Well, now I guess you recognize me. I already know what most of those things are, but Ron was telling me about something. Notice the mustard plant, the yellow mustard plant in the foreground. That's the first thing that Kona saw and had to have her picture taken by. And just another view of Ron and I in that same garden. On the grounds of the new but unoccupied hospital. But this is a brick factory on the property adjacent. Closer view showing some of the products. And some of the men at work with the stockpile in the foreground. There's quite a village nearby, and this is a view of that village. A new school that has just been completed for the use of the children in the village, and another house going up as the families there continue to grow and increase. Then we went back into town and took the Land Rover in. This is one of the VNCS vehicles, and that's our man, Bill Rose, standing in front with some people gathering around to see what we're going to do next. This is the Pat Smith Hospital in operation in town. This used to be a school building, and they're using it now until they feel it's secure to go back out to the new area. Pat Smith treats Montagnards only. She will have absolutely nothing to do with the Vietnamese. She just doesn't like them at all. She's very dedicated to the Montagnard people. This is meal time, chow time. You see that little bowl in the hand down here in the foreground. Everybody has their own bowl, and they're waiting to be handed their rice and meat and vegetables. Bill now here in this picture is attaching the trailer to the Land Rover because we've got a big load to take back to Dak To. This little child wants to be a part of the load, but sorry, no room because all of these people are going to be in that Land Rover and trailer. The little round packages in the trailer are salt, containers of salt, hard to get, and so Bill transports it to the smaller villages when he can get some. These people have been patients in the hospital and are ready to go back to Dak To. They're crowding in. We've got about 12, I think, that they put in the back of the Land Rover and in the trailer, and the four of us were in the front seat. We also had among the cargo one corpse to be returned to his village. This young man is Tom Coles. He's an ex-serviceman, has returned to Vietnam to work in the villages. He was a medic, I think naval, but I'm not sure, it doesn't sound right. But anyway, he was a medic with the armed forces here, and has returned now to give training to people in the villages so that they can at least help their own villagers get to a doctor or have some little idea of how to prevent a lot of mortalities and deaths of diseases that they could prevent and to introduce some health practices. He is working through Pat Smith Hospital to do the training of some of these villagers. And the funds for this have been approved from the Special Projects Fund of Vietnam Christian Service, which come from the Methodist Fund for Reconciliation. The Vietnamese are pretty good truck garden farmers, and this is just one of the views there of one of the gardens that we passed in Con Tu. Button yards aren't very good with vegetable gardens. Another view of the Con Tu city as we are preparing to leave. This is a view of the countryside as we head up the highway toward Doc To. The countryside really is very lovely. This is a group of children at Dak Rao Pan, a village where we stopped en route to see about someone who had been ill, the possibility of taking them to the hospital. They quickly gathered around our Land Rover, and we saw all sorts of little things. Here's some mothers with their babies. They had the darlingest children, really. Views from the other side of the Land Rover. We were really literally surrounded. And then this little character, I was trying to get him to smile, and he wasn't going to do it at all. But you can see, he's about to give in, and he didn't quite. So I got a big kick out of that. I thought that was really a cute pose. Very nonchalant. And even some of the fathers and soldiers and native children gather around. They were lovely. They had to look us over good. I think I got some of the prettiest youngsters in some of these pictures. Okay, now we're on slide 43. And we have now reached Tan Can, which is the name of the little village where Ron and Bill have their office. This is their Land Rover, and you'll see the sign on the door in back of the Land Rover. That's the office, and that's where Bill resides. Ron and Na, of course, in front of the Land Rover. This is the street on which Ron lives, too, and this is the house where he lives. It's one of three in a row, sort of, and the Vietnamese families live in the other one. Very simple and very, very plain. And no toilets or running water facilities inside, but there is a wash house in back and a latrine. So it isn't really too bad at all. This is the cook and housekeeper for Ron, and that's her little son. And he was a doll. Just adorable little youngster. Here he is again. And Na is looking out the window at the door. She's watching him. That was the most informal pose I was able to get. Here he is again. Usually he stood very stiff and straight, hand on his hip. He was so cute. His name was Tan, and his mother's name is Chi Ba. And here is Tan again, and this time he has just helped clear the table. He brought off the rice bowl when we finished with it, and he's beginning to do his homework. Slide 50, another view of the countryside. And 51, we're on our way to Con Ring village. And just as you enter the village, you'll find this pineapple grove. This is a particularly sweet type of pineapple. It's unique to this region and very well known. It's also a very colorful pineapple, as you can see in this slide a little better, and not too large, and they're used at Tet time in their smallest forms, immature forms, for particular decorations, for trays to put on the family altars. Oh, I just replayed that. I didn't realize how horrible background music we had from the children playing out in the alley. So I've closed my windows now. I hope the rest of it won't be quite so noisy and distracting. We proceed with slide number 54. And here we have arrived at the Conering Village. This is the Catholic Church, our car, and this is one of the agricultural workers who assists Ron in his program. Here are some views. This was a Saturday afternoon, and pretty soon as we waited there by the church for Ron to come back, all of these people began coming by, and here they were in these lovely white blankets. I'd never seen the white duck toe blanket, and we couldn't figure out what was quite going on. They'd go up and through that gate, and then they'd come back. So this one group is waiting, this one, and here's one who has gone through the portals of the gate and is walking now to the church. Well, I decided that this was the home of the priest, and that he was having confession. And sure enough, that's what it was. They all went up there for confession. Then they would come back and go to the church. These little kids had beat up to the church, of course, and were playing with the church bell. A little different from the one we used to see and use and ring. This is slide 57. Another of the sights that we saw as we sat there watching the people go by. The one lady on the right was approaching the residence of the priest for her confessional period. And over on the other side are two women with these gray, huge logs in the baskets on their back. They look kind of like walking grandfathers, and those were very heavy. And here is one of the gentlemen in his native loincloth and taking care of the baby. And three little youngsters all in a row with their own miniature-sized baskets. The Montagnards are basket-carrying people. And this one, you can see the bamboo sticks in the one, and a lot of other things the other. And that one little girl just wasn't going to have her picture taken at all. And she is real upset. The gentleman that you saw in front of the car back there in front of the church was named Chow, the one who helps Ron. This is his home. This is a Montagnard longhouse in the dock groups. It's very long, and they have this veranda. Inside is a common room, which is used for work or play or visiting. And then back of that, each family has its own kitchen and sleeping area. We were very fortunate because they prepared a meal for us, and we ate in this longhouse. While we were waiting for the men to return, however, this grandmother went about her work. And here she is beating the rice. And Na and I are watching as she performs that task. She's, Kona thought she'd try it. So she takes the handle and tries to make the thing work. They put it in that pestle, and grandmother watches and gives instructions. Then I had to help. Boy, I was a big help, I tell you. I got all set up, now slide 64, and I really pounded it, and everything just went flying. I had rice everywhere, and it's so precious. So here I am, down on my hands and knees, trying to get the pieces of rice. Grandmother takes the tray, and she goes down in underneath that porch, and I scrape it off through the cracks so that we won't lose too much. I was real embarrassed. And while we were working, the kids were playing. You'll note that one of them has on two gloves and the other two have one each. They really were having quite a time as we watched them for some time. They went at it and had a great, great fun. This one's 67. You'll see they're using hands and feet both. A lot of that over here, Thai boxing. primarily is footwork, and this was reminiscent of that. Here I am inspecting coffee crop. I don't even drink coffee, so you know I was really making a thorough inspection. It was worthwhile. Okay, that was the end of the trip to Conaring Village. Now we have passed Dr. House and office, and are on the way out to Ron's field office alongside the road where these remains of a C-46 that had been down somewhere, oh, by 1969 probably, and they'd been laying there disintegrated. So you can see there is a vestige of war. Here is the main body. The following scenes are roadside scenes as we are there near his field office. Here are these two little boys with their baskets and their weapons. You'll notice the condition of the road that is being prepared to make a nicer road, but it was sure hard walking and driving. Another one of the Montagnard patriarchs walking along with his loincloth and with his small basket with his bow in his hand. These people are moving their church. They have completed a new church building, and they're moving the furniture from the old on their heads and shoulders and carrying it along. We watched them coming up and down the roadway for some time. There goes one of the chairs, too. This is Franz's housing for his rototiller and wire and other little handy gadgets for the farming there on this particular experimental plot. I'm picking coffee. How about that? Coffee bean tree. This is called a weed in Missouri, but over here the Montagnards call it their Christmas flower. And Na and Ron were inspecting it. And right next to that, there was a tapioca bush. This is one of Ron's major projects. He has them in several villages, a fish pond. And the Montagnards are using these quite a lot now, and it's proving to be very worthwhile. He set this one up as a demonstration, and now they're providing fish to different villages on a regular basis. I kind of like that picture of Ron and Na both. Those were banana trees around the edge. Now, there's a cute little girl. Notice her dock-toe skirt. That's the kind of a skirt that I used to sell in the handcraft shop. And see the basket? I sold those too. They're clearing this field. They sometimes have two or three things growing in a field. They don't get them all cleared out well. Right now, they're trying to get out some sweet potatoes, digging them up by the roots. So we take a good look to see how things are going. You see they're very industrious. Ron's over there, and Ron and one side, and then Na in the center. And now Na has donned a shoulder basket and picked up the tool. It's a peculiar digging tool. And she's gone to work to see what it feels like to work in the fields, because she really doesn't know. She's a teacher. She's lived in Saigon all of her life. And this is another project that was part of which the boys worked on in helping get things together. Actually, the government built the dam, but they provided some of the materials and some of the incentive for labor. You'll notice that the women are at this well. They've done their bathing, and they are also here doing some of their washing as well as bathing. That's a little better view of the dam. I hate to take pictures of people, just stand there and take them when you're visiting, so I told Na to stand there and I'd see if I could shoot past her. So I really did it on purpose. I wasn't just getting that piece of headscarf for that reason. This one is an experimental plot for IR5 rice. They had a very good showing this year, had an abundant crop, and it was right alongside the road so that everybody would notice it, the difference between this one and the paddy next to it. So Ron feels that he really made some advance in demonstrating to the people how they could have a more abundant rice crop. Those are his two helpers with him. This object that Ron is holding is a happy house. These are found in each of the Montagnard villages, and each one's a little bit different depending upon the tribe. I sold a lot of these at the handcraft shop, and they were a very popular item. This lady happened to be going by on a Honda with her husband. She intended to take the house into the office to sell to Bill, who really handles the handcrafts, but she stopped. She saw the vehicle and thought maybe it was Bill. And Ron, of course, just had to tell her to take it on in because he didn't work with that. That one was selling for about 4,000 piastres. Here Ron stops to pick up some people waiting for a Salam or Honda or a ride of some sort because they were weary. But these young girls and women were carrying huge bunches of broom straw to be sold at the market. We took as many as we could and then went off and left the rest of them. Seemed kind of cruel, but you could only put so many in along with the broom straw. When they got to town, this is what happened. They laid them out to dry. And all along the street where Ron and Bill lived were scenes like this. This was the season. One night, they came rushing in. The people had been carrying a soldier on a sling. So Ron got the stretcher and put him on the stretcher and put him in the ambulance. That's what they call his Land Rover. And we rushed over to the base. I went along, and we took him to the Army base. As soon as we got there, the friends that had been with him seemed to just disappear someplace, and Bill got out there and pulled out the stretcher a little ways and then hopped in the car to grabbed the back end, and nobody was around, so I finally picked up the other end of the stretcher, and we took that soldier into the hospital. Never did find out how that turned out. Well, now, this is what happens when you go anywhere in Vietnam. You can go on a picnic or whatever, but you always have an audience like this. Ron was taking pictures of Kona and I in front of his house, and these youngsters on their way to school one morning had to stop and stare. We had just about the same number every time that we opened our window over here on the side. They'd come in and stare in the window as we were trying to get dressed. So it left a lot to be desired in the way of privacy. In the background is the Cao Dai Temple. Cao Daiism is one of the religions indigent to Vietnam. It has its headquarters in Thái Ninh. And this is one of the priests at this particular temple in Dak Tho there. I thought he was a very distinguished looking gentleman. That's a special pin that he has on his tunic. Of course, I had to take a picture of these two guys because they were standing around all preened after I started taking the picture of their boss. They visited with us for a short time that morning and we enjoyed it very much. They were very nice. This is a very poor picture of it. I included it anyway, hoping that your slide will show it a little better. This is the front of the temple, and the eye, the all-seeing eye, is one of their main symbols. This is Dak Tha Khan. The word Dak means water. So all of this province, everything, all the villages and everything, have the word dock in them. And there is quite a lot of water. This is a beautiful stream, and we're heading for the nearby village. Slide 95. As we go along the river, we'll notice that there are these little vegetable gardens, sort of terraced along the banks, and they're irrigated from this stream. 96 will show you. Distant patch, vegetable garden within and without the fenced area. And we have just passed another one where it's a little closer to the water. Na and I went wading downhill. We had a big kick out of that and we certainly had a crowd then too. This is the swinging bridge across Dak Ta Khan, and it leads to the village where Ron is going to see one of his agricultural helpers. It goes to the side, back and forth to the side, more than up and down. And those poles have barbed wire strung between them, so you don't really just grab out to balance yourself without thinking. It's a pretty difficult bridge to cross. I've been on a lot of swinging bridges, but that one wasn't my favorite. The view from the bridge, this, like most other streams around, is used for swimming and for bathing and for the local laundry. Slide 99. The entrance to the village, you can see the fortifications and protective measures that they employ, because Dak Ta is in still a rather insecure area. We had to have permission to go, and we had to have a security clearance 7 to 10 days prior to our arrival, before permission was granted. This is given both through USAID and military sources, as well as our own observances from our men on the scene. So we were cleared to go. And of course you stay within certain areas too, even then. But the VC are still quite active, and they make raids on villages. They have their own popular forces for guards, and then of course they make fortifications wherever they can. This is Khanhoyal village. It's really a very nice village, pretty well kept, and the houses are quite nice in most instances. Just so happened that the man that we were visiting lived in this one, which isn't so nice. In fact, it's really on its last legs. But we were invited in and were seated in between cracks on the floor, and they brought us a hand of bananas and tried to entertain us while we waited for the man of the house. Another scrutinization from the kids all over. This one came in and sat down and watched us a while others filled the doorway. They are building a new house though, and none too soon, believe you me. So this is the new house that's in preparation. Another view of the village. This is slide 104. It gives you a little closer glimpse of how they're raised on their stilts. The animals and all live underneath, and they're braided with a sort of a fiber from banana leaves and other plants. And this is a village common house or happy house. This is the real thing. Somewhat similar to the one that you saw a miniature of a few slides back. This happy house is where the young men of the village live until they are married. After you're married, you can't go to the happy house. I guess they start their own, of course, you understand. Others say maybe they're no longer happy, but anyway. They have fireplaces such as this in each end. And this is a view from the inside of the happy house. Slide 107. And the next few slides are pretty much this same scene, but I wanted you to see the hills and the rather sense of awe and grandeur, I think, that we felt while we were out there. It's really a very lovely place. Dak Ta is in the northwestern section. There's Na in much the same spot. Slide 110, another view of the hills. And you see over there on the far ridge, another village, which we will be going to visit in a very short time. This is the market in downtown Tan Khan. And this is where Na and I went to just see what was going on. And here we are doing our shopping. Mostly we bought tomatoes. Well, everybody gathers around when you do that too. They enjoy watching us shop. As we came back from church one Sunday, we were stopped in the middle of a highway. A man trying to sell Ron some barbed wire. Barbed wire is at a premium for the farmers. Mostly the military have access to the wire. Actually, you know, this is probably illegal black market wire, but it was a pretty good price, and the villagers needed it, so Ron bought it. I don't know, I have trouble seeing some of these things sometimes. But anyway, here we are now at our new village and are storing the barbed wire in the warehouse. The children gather around to watch our labors. Notice the distended stomachs on the children there. Probably worms, according to my nurse friend. This, by the way, is Dak Cho Village. As we were watching them store the barbed wire, a procession went by. We discovered it was a funeral procession for a soldier of the village who had been killed some distance away. And here in slide 115, you find them gathered at the cemetery on the ridge outside the village. We notice this as we are leaving. We move over to, this is a Sunday afternoon, and this one is Tumarong Village, Dak Tumarong. This rice field was the scene of a tragic happening. Just as we drove up, they were bringing in the bodies of three women who had been killed by the VC over in another rice paddy. And they had just gone beyond the security limits a little too far. They were just bringing the bodies back to the village. We moved along to another dam. This was an earthenworks. This is the his and hers dam, I said, because this is her side. The women are bathing, and there's also been some laundry work. And over there are the his. And they're doing their bathing and swimming over on the other section. And then, not to be outdone, this portion's for the rice. It'll be used for the rice paddies when it's time to replant. That evening, we went for tea at the home of the pastor. So this is Tai To and his family. There's Nga and Bill and Ron also. So happened that one of the little goodies that they served us were some baked potatoes. These baked potatoes had been, these sweet potatoes had been in the possession of some VC who had been killed in along the highway on Saturday morning. And they'd robbed somebody of the potatoes, and they were scattered around, and they got to the pastor's kitchen somehow. I don't know, but anyway, we had them for tea on Sunday afternoon. This is the road to Laos. Laos is only about 20 miles along this road from Dak To. And so we are heading out to Dak Ri Village. It's almost time to go to the plane, but Bill got an urgent call for a stretcher case. The hill in the distance contains the U.S. Forces Fire Base number 5 and number 6. I'm not just sure which little knoll is which, but along this area, our fire bases 5 and 6. That's one of them that's leveled off flat for airplane landing. A little bit closer view. And this one is another of our swinging bridges. Now this one's much narrower, and it's pretty rigid. It doesn't swing either up or down very much. And the only problem is that underfoot, there are not very many things to step on sometimes. So they told me they doubted if I'd get across it, but I went, and it took me quite a while. I decided I'd just go across and come back before Bill and the stretcher bearers came, because they turned with their burden. This is a hilltop village, so they had to go climbing up the hill, and I thought, well, I could make it. But I got across, and I ran into these two charming young gentlemen. I took their picture, and you can see the water far below. But I got to visiting with them, and all of a sudden, looked up, and here came Bill and the people for the village with the stretcher. So I went racing back across. Only took me about 3/4 the time to get back as it did to get over. And here we are at the end of the climb. The stretcher bearers and their followers are putting the wounded man in the Land Rover. Ra and Ron are at the gateway to the bridge. And now we're ready to head back for Khon Tum and the airplane back to Saigon. Bid farewell to the Dak To area and head on a little bit south, picking up patients all along the roadway as we went to convey them to the Pat Smith Hospital for treatment. Our Land Rover serves as an ambulance and supply carrier. Bill is always doing a lot of medical relief work by taking people either to or from the hospital, emergency cases such as the soldier that we pictured. One night, Ron even went out at the urgent call of neighbors with a stretcher and took a young man who was standing in the street with one bloody hand gushing fresh blood and rushed him off to the Army base for med evacuation and further treatment. He had been setting a claymore mine and it had gone off. Ron does a lot of agricultural work, as I said. His main projects are experimental and demonstration so that the people can find out how to grow vegetables, make gardens, and raise livestock. They have not done. The Montagnards are a wandering people, and they usually go one place and use the land and then burn it off, use it again, and then have to move on to a new place. With the war, this has ended, and many of them have been put in these small villages or in refugee camp areas where they can't grow anything, they don't have their own livestock. In fact, most of the time, it's such an arid piece of land that they can't even grow what they need to eat. So it's quite a change for them. And these boys are trying to do their best to help. Bill is an entirely different type. He's sort of he likes to call his a medical social worker, and he helps with problems of that sort and in community development and community relations. It was a very interesting weekend, and I enjoyed it very much. It is my closest experience, I think, really, to being aware of some of the wartime casualties and incidents that happened to the people there. But we came on home then, and this was the week just prior to Christmas. So while we were at Ron's house, we opened our Christmas presents from his family and had a nice Christmas visit. And it was home and ready for our own Christmas here in Saigon. So this is farewell to Dak To, South Vietnam, December 1971. And this is Ann Scow reporting.
Can we get a check to the they know they can own it, then they will improve. They don't need to be everywhere. Sorry?